with me to Luke. Now, if your Bible is the same as mine, it's on page 840. Luke 22, I'm going to start in verse 14.
Luke 22:14.
What? Are you kidding me? You're talking to me to pull the mic closer? Oh my goodness. All right. I haven't even started to talk yet, though. I mean, look it. You can hear the... Yeah, we're getting some tintinabulation going on over here. Yes, they do. There we go. All right. Thank you, Bobby. All right. And when the hour was come, he sat down and the 12 apostles with him. And he said unto them, with desire, I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I say unto you, I will not any more eat thereof until it be fulfilled in the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. He so desired. Have you ever wanted something so badly you just didn't think you could live without it? Desire. Want something fervently. That word fervently, of course, is used in James, the fervent, effectual prayer of the righteous man availeth much. Desire, wanted. Jesus wanted to eat this dinner, this supper with them. He desired it because he knew this was the night. He knew. And he desired it. Why? Why did he want to do that? Because he knew he was going away? Because he wanted... I think there was something he wanted them to get from this particular supper, this particular fellowship with him. Read on. And he took the cup and gave thanks and said, take this and divide it amongst yourselves. For I say unto you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God shall come. And he took bread and gave thanks and brake it and gave unto them, saying, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. Now, I'm going to read on here in a little bit, but there's something, I don't know, I'm not going to say the Bible is wrong, but there were two different partakings that night. There was the meal itself, and then there is what we call the Last Supper. And if you read it in the other Gospels, it appears a little bit differently, because there's a passage upcoming that happened actually before the taking of the Last Supper. So I wanted to make that note before we go on. Likewise, also the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you. But behold, the hand of him that betrayeth me is with me on the table. And truly the Son of Man goeth, as it was determined. But woe unto that man by whom he is betrayed. And they began to inquire among themselves, which of them it was that should do this thing. And there was also a great... I'm going to stop there. But which of them among... And we remember from the other scriptures that he says, with whom I share this sop. And then, of course, he told Judas, that which you do, do quickly. And that was when Satan entered him and he left. And what we learn from other gospels is that then they had the last supper. Then he shared the body and blood of the new covenant with the remaining 11. And that new covenant given in his blood, in his body, that's what he accomplished on the cross. That is what saves us. Praise the Lord. And then, and yet, and being with God, I'm going to read it first, then comment. And they began to inquire among themselves which of them it was that should, and there was also a great strife among them, which of them should be accounted the greatest. And he said unto them, the kings of the Gentiles exercise lordship over them, and they that exercise authority upon them are called benefactors. But you shall not be so. But he that is greatest among you, let him be as the younger, and he that is chief, as he that doth serve. For whether is greater, he that sitteth at meat, or he that serveth? Is not he that sitteth at meat? But I am among you as he that serveth. You are they which have continued with me in my temptations, and I appoint unto you a kingdom, as my Father has appointed unto me, that you may eat and drink at my table in my kingdom, and sit on my thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. He's making a transfer of authority here. He's telling them, you know, I'm going away, but my work must continue. And he's telling them here, you are now to go out and spread this word. You are to go out and share with others what I have shared with you. He has been the example. He has shown them how to serve. And yet they're still asking, who is greatest? Who is the greatest among us? And he told them, you who serve. He who serves is greatest. John the Baptist got it. John the Baptist understood. He said, I must decrease and he must increase. So if we are to truly be servants of the Lord, let us serve. Let us serve our fellow man. And the Lord said, I'm in verse 31 now. And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan has desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for you, that your faith fail not. And when you are converted, strengthen thy brethren. There again, he's saying, you have a mission. You have a purpose that I have given you. He's modeled this purpose to them for 3.5 years. Serve and encourage and exhort and strengthen. That's what he's done all this time. They've talked about it, that Jesus was to die. And even back when, Peter said, no, don't, God forbid. And Jesus rebuked him. Or rebuked the devil in him to tempt him to prevent the Lord from doing what he must by saying, Satan, get thee behind me. And so now we see Peter having a different reaction. He said unto him, Lord, I am ready to go with thee, both into prison and to death. And he said, I tell thee, Peter, the cock shall not crow this day before that thou shalt thrice deny that thou knowest me. And he said unto them, when I sent you without purse and scrip and shoes, lacked you anything? And they said nothing. Then he said unto them, but now he that hath a purse, let him take it, and likewise his scrip. And he that hath no sword, let him sell his garment and buy one. For I say unto you that this that is written must yet be accomplished in me. And he was reckoned among the transgressors, for the things concerning me have an end. And they said, Lord, behold, here are two swords. And he said unto them, it is enough. How's that old song go? The times, they are a-changing. Jesus knew that things were going to be very different now. Very different. He knew they were going to be afraid. He knew that, as we'll read later on, the Pharisees and Sadducees would plot and say Jesus never rose again. He knew of the persecution to come, and he told them to be prepared, be ready. This wasn't the first time he mentioned it. He told them before, if they hate me, they're going to hate you. And all this time, even to the end, even in his last hours, he is trying to comfort them and prepare them. And yet, I just don't know that they realized what exactly was about to happen. They just, could they? Could they understand it? Even though he told them he had to die, they just didn't seem to get it, based on what we read later. And he came out and went, as he was wont, to the Mount of Olives, and his disciples also followed him. And he was at the place, when he was at the place, he said unto them, pray that you enter not into temptation. And he was withdrawn from them about a stone's cast, and kneeled down and prayed, saying, Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. And there appeared an angel unto him from heaven, strengthening him. And being in agony, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat was as it were great drops of blood falling down to the ground. I can't imagine the stress, the strain. I have heard of this physically happening to other people in horrific circumstances, people who are facing unjust executions. People in the persecuted church have experienced this. And people who are just under such an extreme amount of strain, such as Holocaust survivors, that the capillaries, the very smallest blood vessels at the surface of the skin, burst, and they are sweating blood. And Jesus went through such tension, such agony, soul-wrenching torment, that he sweat drops of blood. And yet he went willingly to the cross. There's that beautiful song that says, he gladly died for me. And this is just me talking, just Karen saying, I don't think he gladly died for me. Because the scripture bears out, he did not want to have to go to the cross. Lord, if it be thy will, let this cup pass from me. But not my will, your will be done. He didn't want to have to suffer that, but he knew he had to. And he did it, not gladly, but willingly. Because it was what the Father commanded, and is what we need, and he gave that to us. Praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah. And I wonder sometimes, I look at that verse where it says he was withdrawn from them about a stone's cast. I'm sure Lloyd and Rick can throw a stone a lot farther than I can. So how far away was he? You know, how far away was he really from them? Who could throw that stone? You know, it Because if I threw it, it'd just be kind of like plop. If Steve or Bobby threw it, it would be like plop, you know. How far was it? Because they had to have been able to hear him, I think. In my humanness, I think they had to have been able to hear this. At least some whimpers. And yet their flesh can still consume them, and they fell asleep. Let's read on. And being in an agony, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat was as it were great drops of blood falling down to the ground. And when he rose up from prayer and was come to his disciples, he found them sleeping for sorrow. And he said, "Why sleep ye? Rise and pray, lest you enter into temptation." See, when he prayed, Jesus had an angel come right away and strengthen him. You know, as he told Pilate, he could have had legions of angels come and free him and carry him away. But he couldn't. He knew he couldn't do that. But God sent him a comforter. He sent him an angel to strengthen him and help him get through the temptation of saying, not gonna do this. That angel strengthened him. And yet these guys, they weren't, some people, they think, well, were they just lazy? Did they just have that big meal and it made them sleepy? No, it says they were sleeping for sorrow. Found them sleeping for sorrow. Even though they didn't quite get it consciously, on some level they knew something was about to happen. Have you ever had such a feeling of dire dread? You just knew something was about to happen, and it's not good. You don't know what it's going to be, but you know it's coming, and you just pray God to get you through it. And it exhausts you when you worry like this, when you have these great weights come upon you. It can be physically tiring. And so I think that's what happened here to the disciples. They tired for sorrow. They slept for sorrow. Jesus came and reminded them, pray. Pray that you can get through this temptation. He knew what's coming. Verse 47. And while he yet spake, behold, a multitude, and he that was called Judas, one of the 12, went before them, and drew near unto Jesus to kiss him. But Jesus said unto him, Judas, betrayest thou the Son of Man with a kiss? When they which were about him saw what would follow, they said unto him, Lord, shall we smite with the sword? And one of them smote the servant of the high priest and cut off his right ear. And Jesus answered and said, suffer ye thus far. And he touched his ear and healed him. See, it wasn't the time. He said, yeah, get the swords ready, but it wasn't quite the time. Because he has to suffer this. He has to go through this mockery of a trial. He has to go through the torment of the torture and the agony of the cross. He has to go through it for us. And then Jesus said unto the chief priests and captains of the temple and the elders which were come to him, like he said, it was a multitude. There was a big crowd. Come out to get him. But you come, be ye come out as against a thief with swords and staves? When I was daily with you in the temple, you stretched forth no hands against me. But this is your hour and the power of darkness. You had all the time in the world to get me when I was right there on your turf. And now you're coming at me with sticks and swords. You know, this is different than when David came against the giant. Because even though he's the giant of the universe, the creator of the universe, the giant that could just wipe them all out with a wave of his hand, he knew he had to be as the lamb. The lion will come later. But right now, he has to be the lamb. Praise God. This is your hour and the power of darkness. Seems like that hour hasn't even ended. You know? There in the spiritual realm, Satan's head is crushed. Jesus' heel crushed his head in that garden, I believe, when he stood and said, okay, it's time, I'm going to go do this. Even before he went to the cross, I believe, when he said, not my will, Father, but your will be done. I believe right then that resolve came into him, that commitment. And right then, because when God speaks, that's it. It comes to pass. And Jesus is all God and all man, and he said it. And it comes to pass. And yet Satan's lease on this world still holds. I think he's a squatter, actually. Those of you who are landlords, you know what it's like to get rid of somebody who is on your property illegally. You know what it's like. Well, Satan's lease has been up for a long time, and the sheriff is coming to evict him very soon. Hallelujah. Then they took him and led him and brought him into the high priest's house. And Peter followed afar off. And when they had kindled a fire in the midst of the hall and were set down together, Peter sat down among them. But a certain maid beheld him as he sat by the fire and earnestly looked upon him and said, this man was also with him. And he denied him, saying, woman, I know him not. And after a little while, another saw him and said, thou art also of them. And Peter said, man, I am not. And about the space of 1 hour, after another confidently affirmed, saying, of a truth, this fellow also was with them, for he is a Galilean. And Peter said, man, I know not what thou sayest. And immediately, while he yet spake, the cock crew. In other scriptures, it tells us he said it with an oath. He cursed. He was trying to be fervent in his denial. And then the cock crows. And he remembers what Jesus said. And the Lord turned and looked upon Peter. And Peter remembered the word of the Lord, how he had said unto him, before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. I don't know about y'all, but I've experienced this where I've heard a message that's inspiring and uplifting and just empowering. And then not a day later, something happens in life to cast all that out, and you're thinking about your problem. Oh, woe is me. Oh, these troubles. Oh, these trials. But then, praise God, thank you, Holy Spirit, some little thing happens. Someone says something, or you just, and it's just something really simple. Maybe you hear something on the radio or see something on TV. I love it when God uses those instruments. Maybe it's just that a bird lands nearby. Maybe it's a butterfly fluttering by. Some little thing happens, and you remember. The Holy Spirit stirs in you that word that you heard, and it strengthens you. And you can be in the depth of despair, but some small thing helps you remember you're not alone. And this is not the end. And this is not the worst day of your life. And things are going to get better. And you are going to make it through this. I imagine that's where Peter was, and that's what he says. And Peter went out and wept bitterly. And yet, Peter did not despair to the end. He did not despair to death. We know what Peter does later on. And we know how Jesus helps him later on. He did not despair to the end, to the death. Praise the Lord. And the men that held Jesus mocked him and smote him. And when they had blindfolded him, they struck him on the face and asked him, saying, "Prophesy, who is it that smote thee?" And many other things, blasphemously, they spake against him. He's tied up, and he's blindfolded now. And he's standing there. He's not resisting. And yet they beat on him. And they push him, and they shove him. Unjustly. Maybe we feel that way sometimes. Unjustly pushed, unjustly shoved around, unjustly blindfolded so we don't know what is going on around us, and somebody knocks the fire out of us. What keeps us going? I guess the same thing that kept Jesus going, the Holy Spirit. As soon as it was day, the elders of the people and the chief priests and the scribes came together and led him into their council, saying, "Art thou the Christ? Tell us." And he said unto them, "If I tell you, you will not believe. And if I also ask you, you will not answer me, nor let me go. Hereafter shall the Son of Man sit on the right hand of the power of God." Then said they all, "Art thou then the Son of God?" And he said unto them, "You say that I am." And they said, "What need we of any further witness? For we ourselves have heard on his own mouth." We ourselves have heard on his own mouth that they did not believe. We have not heard it out of his own mouth, but we have heard it. In our spirits, this word has spoken to us. And we have heard it, and we believe. That is what keeps us going. That is what tells us you're not alone. You're beaten, but you are not broken. You are struck down, but you are not destroyed. Like the song says from Scripture, though the sorrow may last for the night, joy comes in the morning. Jesus is entering the worst time anyone has ever experienced. He is about to suffer more agony than anyone could ever begin to imagine. But he does it in the full knowledge that that's not the end. Hallelujah. When you are suffering, when you are going through something that seems unbearable, that seems inexplainable, incomprehensible, just keep going. Don't stop in the middle of it. Keep going. The Holy Spirit will tell you and encourage you and remind you of these words. So put them in you, so there's something in there for him to use in reminding you that this is not the end. There is better coming. God's plan is good. When you don't know what else to say, just say, "God, thy will be done. Thy will be done." And just like he did for Jesus, he will send comfort and strength. And you will make it through the trial. And you will be strengthened. And you will overcome the temptations. And just like Jesus, he will rise again. Hallelujah. Let us pray. Father God, we thank you for your word. We thank you, Lord God. It is not just a guide for our lives. It is a comfort for our souls. No matter what we are going through, we can know we are not alone. Your word promises you never leave us nor forsake us. We are promised that your plans for us are good and not evil. Your word promises that there is a better day to come, and the Lamb is returning as the Lion of Judah, and we will get to return with him. Hallelujah and hallelujah. We look forward to that day, Father God. And even so, Lord Jesus, come. In your name, amen.